Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here as we commemorate the fifth anniversary of the attacks on America, September the 11th, 2001, and here to help us reflect on those events and where we are and where we're going from the standpoint of Homeland Security is Heather McDonald. Heather is the John M. Olin Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor to the Manhattan Institute's City Journal. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
It's good to have you here. You wrote an outstanding piece it was published in the Wall Street Journal last week about, the title was Security Industrial Complex, the Security Industrial Complex. And I'd like for you to share with my audience some of your thoughts on sort of where we are and where we're going. As I read this, Heather, I kept thinking about Pogo. You know Pogo, the cartoon character.
Right.
That he's now so famous for having said, "We have seen the enemy, and he is us." Do you think about Pogo as you think about our Homeland Security attempts?
Well, I think that's a good analogy, Jim. At this point, I think we're giving the terrorists what they couldn't accomplish on their own, which is a great overreaction, which is a sense that, as President Bush and Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld have been saying in the last couple of weeks, that we are facing a civilizational threat. I think this is greatly exaggerated rhetoric. 9/11 was an absolute tragedy. But the fact that nothing has happened since, to me, suggests that the Islamic terrorists do not have the capacity that we're attributing to them. And yet we have now created a extraordinary bureaucratic infrastructure that presumes that terrorism is the biggest threat that the United States faces. I mean, the fact that we've created this Department of Homeland Security signals that we think terrorism is going to continue to be this massive problem indefinitely. And I think what we need to do now is either confirm or refute the premise of the government at this point, which is that terrorists are everywhere. They are putting any industry that you name at risk. I would like to see the intelligence that actually suggests that. I think that we are scaring ourselves to death unjustifiably.
Well, you know, Heather, I guess I wouldn't have been able to have argued with you very much about that prior to what happened a month or so ago in London, when they captured 25 or so people who were plotting to blow up planes over the Atlantic.
Well, I've yet to see any hard evidence that they had that capacity, but certainly that was their intention.
Well, a point you made in your article was that wanting to do that and having the capacity to do that are two different things. There may be a lot of terrorists out there who want to do these things, but their ability to do them is a different matter. And you're saying you think we're overestimating the ability of Islamic terrorists to cause us damage.
At this point, and short of getting a nuclear weapon, which is a lot harder than most people think, in this country at least, we have made it very difficult to get the materials for a weapon of mass destruction. The industries are regulated. The chemical industry is regulated. The biohazards are very hard to get, and we put botulism under lock and key. What remains, and this is a former chief in the FBI and counterterrorism told me this, what remains is basically fertilizer, a Timothy McVeigh attack. Mm-hmm. But there again, the sellers of bulk amounts of fertilizer know their buyers. If they had somebody come in, you know, six Saudis wanting to buy several truckloads of fertilizer, most certainly those buyers, those sellers rather, would be alerted and would notify the authorities. So it just is not as easy as people have been led to believe to create a weapon. And let's not forget, the brilliance of 9/11 was the jujitsu of using our technology against us.
Mm-hmm.
None of those hijackers had a single weapon of mass destruction.
Right, that's right.
And they could not do that again because you cannot get into a cockpit door at this point, both because the doors have been strengthened and passengers wouldn't allow it. But again, even the intention of the London airline plot is undeniable. I'm agnostic about whether they could have pulled it off. I've seen some very critical writing saying that there's no way you could do that within the space of create a bomb within the limited time available to you while on board. But even so, there is no way that another such attack should be deemed as a civilizational threat. It only is if we allow it to be.
Well, that's the impact of terrorism.
Well, that's right, but that's something that we can combat ourselves. You know, I see today the New York Times is whining about the fact that, well, all we were asked to do after 9/11 was go back and shop. That is exactly the right response. If there is a bomb in a shopping mall in the United States, that should be the response of Bush. This is not going to scare us. We are all going to go back tomorrow. And can continue our lives because the terrorists only achieve their effects. They do not have the capacity to bring us to our knees, only if we allow them to mm-hmm. scare us to death.
So, well, that takes a different attitudinal direction then. You're saying we need to take a different attitude rather than being frightened and trying to protect ourselves from other people. Just stand up and say, you know what, do what you want to us. We're not going to let you change the way we live.
That's absolutely right. And instead, the idea that a bunch of disorganized losers
mm-hmm.
have the capacity to threaten the West, which is, again, the mantra of the Republicans in the last couple of weeks, is absurd. We should be saying, you guys are pathetic. We are giving you the technology that you're using. There is not a chance. You're not an organized nation state. It's not like the Germany. They don't have any industrial power behind them. They just have the ability to snipe here and there.
But we still, Heather, need to find out about these people and neutralize them. And you have some thoughts on how we can do that, too, when we come back. I'll ask you about those. We're going to be right back. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're visiting with Heather McDonald. She's with the Manhattan Institute. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're reflecting today on the fifth anniversary of 9/11. We're reflecting on that event and what got us to that point and what was going on that day and where we've come since then. Heather McDonald is our guest. She's the John M. Olin Fellow at the Manhattan Institute and contributing editor to their City Journal. Heather, give us that website, please.
City Journal is city-journal.org. You have to remember the darn hyphen, city-journal.org, and then the parent site is the same hyphen problem, manhattan-institute.org.
Yeah. Heather, here's something that you wrote in your piece, that we should be determining the actual capacity of jihadists, the radical Islamists, to strike the U.S., and you say that means ramping up our intelligence effort and facing down privacy zealous and civil libertarian extremists who continue to impede the effort at every turn, end quote. That's from her piece that was in the Wall Street Journal on September 7th of this year. Heather, talk to us about that.
Well, there's not a single intelligence gathering effort in the last 5 years that has not been opposed by privacy advocates and civil libertarian advocates. efforts that were absolutely crucial, and the New York Times as well, of course, who despicably revealed the very successful and wholly legal financial tracking program, international financial tracking program recently. But some of the more important efforts that have now been killed thanks to the privacy advocates, the Pentagon was doing preliminary research on a program that would have tried to analyze and find tracks in cyberspace of terror planning by looking at transactions that are not within the norm. They've also got the capacity, for instance, terrorist websites, jihadist websites advise would-be terrorists to frequently change the SIM card in their cell phone. Mm-hmm. These are the little memory chips that contain subscriber identifying information. We've got the capacity to see what cell phones out there are being constantly replenished with different SIM cards, and we could look at that. That could serve as reasonable suspicion to do a little further investigation, but programs like that have been blocked on the totally specious idea that this is a violation of privacy. The fact is that computers do not violate anyone's privacy. They are insensate machines that don't know at all what they are looking at. And my view is that if terrorists are going to use the fruits of Western civilization, like our telecommunication system, our computer system, against us, these are our systems. We built them. We know them. We should certainly be able to use them against terrorists, but we have been handicapped in using our technology to the maximum because of these totally ginned-up privacy concerns.
So I'm assuming you're a subscriber to the Patriot Act.
Oh, the Patriot Act was a great thing, and it was completely innocuous. It was a bagatelle, but it was the subject of one of the most astounding propaganda campaigns I've seen on the part of the ACLU, largely, and other groups, that created completely bogus arguments against it. I mean, one of the classic examples was the delayed notice of a search provision, which just said if you are going after a terrorist, say, and presenting him with a search warrant would tip him off, you can delay notice and give him a search warrant later when there's no danger of this impeding your investigation. This is a long-standing legal rule that judges have created. The Patriot Act just put it in writing. And the ACLU said that this was somehow some novel intrusion on civil liberty. The law, the power has been around for 20 years. So it was really amazing. Fortunately, in the end, the Patriot Act did get renewed after much huffing and puffing. But
Heather, let me ask you, you talked about changing the SIMS card out and that being a violation of privacy. What's the difference between that and the longstanding banking regulation that requires me to sign a document if I deposit more than $10,000 or more in cash in my checking account, in my bank account? Now that, I mean, I ought to be able to do whatever I want to with my money, but because drug runners were using a lot of cash in order to impede their activity, the government came up with that rule. What's the difference in that and the SIMS card?
Well, I'm not saying. See, my point is,
I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that we already have something similar to that in the form of that regulation.
Right. Well, you know, I've been in many with a conservative libertarian who's tearing his hair out over that the banking regulation as well, and thinks that this is a great intrusion. I just think everything is a balancing act, Jim. Yeah. We have to ratchet down our self-involvement and understand that the government doesn't have the capacity to spy on us for stupid reasons.
Right.
And in the current environment, it's wise to allow the government a little bit of extra capacity to find where people are exploiting banking for bad purposes.
I agree with you, Heather. I've got to wrap it up. Before we go, I got 10 seconds. Are we safer today than we were 5 years ago?
Unquestionably, we're much safer than anybody is allowing us to believe. I don't think people should scare themselves to death.
And I agree with you. Heather, thank you for bringing us those thoughts. And congratulations again on an outstanding article in the Wall Street Journal. Looking forward to having you back again another day.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Heather McDonald, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. Quick break. Right back with Bob Dillon-Schneider after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.